Church conference, our regularly scheduled, just quarterly conference, will be this Wednesday night. So if you would circle that. And for supper, we're having
baked spaghetti
on Wednesday night. So that's very tasty. Come be a part of that and stay for conference. Find out what's going on in the life of the church. Ladies, you have an announcement about pancakes, I understand. We're on a food theme. Come on up. It's good.
Good morning. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Sarah, and we're part of the GAs.
According to the U.S. Day, 16.7 million children are under 18 in the United States live in homes where they are unable to access enough nutritious food needed for a healthy life. GAs learned that this is called food insecurity, and we have learned it is harmful to anybody, but really bad for children.
I can't imagine how difficult it would be to worry about where my next meal might come from. The GAs talked about how blessed we are, and we want to do something to help the hungry kids who go to our schools. So we have joined the Phoebe WMU Circle Group to host a pancake breakfast at Applebee's Restaurant on Saturday, February 1st from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Tickets are only $7 per person. The profits from our breakfast will be used to supply food for the backpack program sponsored by our church.
Will you help us feed 32 students at Vienna and Old Richmond Elementary Schools through the backpack program? Stop by our table set up near the welcome desk or ask a GA or a member of the Phoebe Circle group for tickets. Thank you.
Isn't it great to see our children involved in local ministries that make a difference? And I'm just very grateful for their leadership, for the girls and the GA leaders and the Phoebe group and all those that and all of our circle groups and Baptist men and that are so involved in the community. We truly are blessed to have a church that likes to reach out and wants to do that. So do what you can to support them as they encourage and help fund the backpack program at those two schools. We are here this morning to worship, but before we begin our time of worship, we want to greet you. If you are a guest, we want to properly recognize you. We don't want to embarrass you. That is not our aim. But we're glad that you're here with us, and we want to give just a moment of pause for just a moment. Let our ushers, they're going to begin toward the back, and if you're a guest with us, just slip up your hand or kind of catch their eye, and they will give you a packet of information that'll have several different items in there. Our church newsletter, which tells you about the ministries of the church, and a letter from myself, and several other little brochures in there. I invite you, if you would, please, to take that and carefully consider. And I would understand we'd love to have you come back next Sunday or Wednesday night. Come back Wednesday night, and I'll buy you supper. How about that? All right, come Wednesday night, Pastor will buy you supper. That's a great deal. That's if you're a first-time guest. Just so we're clear on that, okay? We are gathered for worship, and I invite you now as we begin in worship, prepare your heart, open your heart, and allow God's Spirit to speak to you. His Spirit is in this place, and I encourage you to invite Him to lead you even as we begin in a time of worship.
You are worthy.
Let's join our hearts in prayer together. Lord, thank you for calling us together to be church family and to this place to come and to lift up your holy name. We invite you into our lives, into our families, into our hearts. We invite you, O Father God, to come, to speak to us, to tell us things that we need to know as individuals and as a church. May your Spirit move upon us today. Help us to place aside intentionally those things that would keep us from worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We come to lift up your holy name. O Jesus, our Redeemer, bless us as we worship. In thy name we pray. Amen.
We're going to party. Come on. We're going to have a good time. Any up there? We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. They're coming down. We'll sit over here. We'll give you a break. We'll let you sit on the steps today. Just don't tell Jeff. Okay? Here they come. Did y'all go to the basketball games yesterday? Did you go to the basketball games here? You played, didn't you? I saw you out there. Did y'all come to the basketball games yesterday? Did you? Did you play? No, did you really? No, okay. Well, I learned something yesterday. I was watching your team. I was watching your team. And Charlie and Mr. Nurl were coaching you up, weren't they? They're pretty intense coaches, aren't they? Yeah, if you haven't seen, you need to come to a children's game. They're pretty intense coaches. They ask you to do a lot of things, don't they? Yeah? Well, let me ask you a question. Has Charlie or Coach Nurl ever asked you to go out there and defend someone and not let them score? They have? They've said that? Well, are you successful stopping them every single time? No. Well, what do they say? Well, we'll talk about that later. But you don't stop trying, do you? No. You stop trying just because you don't do something successfully? I don't. I keep trying. If I know there's something I need to be doing, I keep trying at it. Do you? You keep trying? Yeah? Okay. All right, well, today, in a few minutes, I'm going to share a story from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament of the Bible. And it's where God had asked the children of Israel, or a group maybe within Israel, to do something very special. And they came back to God and said, God, we've been trying, but we just have not been successful. We failed at this. And God said, look, I've gifted you for this. You go back out there. You go back out there and keep trying at it. Keep working at it. I'm going to be with you. We're going to do this together. You keep working at it. Okay? Because a lot of times the good things that you're supposed to be doing, you don't do it successfully the first time. But God is teaching us, keep with it. Be persistent. And he's going to help us with that. Okay? That's a good lesson, isn't it? Whether you're talking about your homework or doing the things mom and dad ask you to do, or doing the things that please God. Let's pray and ask God to give us his help. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you walk with us and you encourage us and you give us the things that we need, the talents that we need, and to do the things that you've called us to do. Father, we pray that for these children that they would be lights, that truly the love of Christ would shine through them, and that they would be lights and that they would be salt for their friends so their friends could come to know Jesus as well. God, we thank you for their enthusiasm and their smiles, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Mary and I will be reading from Psalm 40, 1 through 11, two interpretations, the NIV, which you'll find in the Bible from the pew, and also the Message. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God.
I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked, finally he listened. He pulled me out of the ditch, pulled me from deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God.
Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things that you've planned for us. For no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare.
Blessed are you who give yourselves over to God. Turn your backs on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you.
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here am I. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God, for your law is within my heart.
Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You've opened my ears so I can listen. So I answered, I read in your letter what you wrote about me, and I'm coming to the party you're throwing for me. That's when God's word entered my life, became part of my very being.
I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love in your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me.
I've preached you to the whole congregation. I've kept back nothing, God, you know that. I didn't keep the news of your ways a secret, didn't keep it to myself. I told it all, how dependable you are, how thorough. I didn't hold back pieces of love and truth. For myself alone, I told it all. Let the congregation know the whole story. Now, God, don't hold out on me. Don't hold back on your passion. Your love and your truth are all that keeps me together. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities to serve. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us this far, knowing all the while what you have in mind for us. Lord, help us to have faith, to trust in you. Lord, help us to not keep our mouths shut. Lord, help us not to sit in our seats and be comfortable. Lord, help us to minister to those around us and do what you would have us to do. Lord, we know there are those that are hurting this morning. And Lord, we ask that you would bless them especially, give them a sense of your presence, let your spirit be upon them in a special way. Even more, Lord, help us to be conduits of your spirit, to reach out. Lord, to love and to serve. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're in a state of transition in some sense. We have a lot of life events coming. Maggie and Josh are getting married this summer. Elizabeth is going to finish school after next year, and so she's thinking about where the next phase of her life is going. And William is off to college next year. So there are lots of changes. But Jeremiah reminds us that that God has a plan for all of us. It occurred to me that as the church as a whole, God has a plan too. If you don't believe me, show up at primary basketball on Thursday nights. If you really want to see something entertaining. For those who don't know, you know, we finished the gym. Basketball season came around. And I think Charlie and them have 17 kids on their team, on the junior co-ed team. The first night, I was the coach of the senior boys team last year, and I'm doing that again this year. The first night, we had 25 guys came in. So all the hard work and all the planning that we've done and planning for this next phase of the church's life here at the corner of Ransom and Polo is paying off. And the deacons, we always say, it's a God thing. Let's try not to get in the way. But I think that what God is calling us to do is to support now the mission that we've chosen to take. The words on the front of your bulletin say, we're here nurtured in spirit and sent out in his name. Well, God's made it easy for us. Come to the gym and they're coming to see us. We don't have to go out, but we do need to minister. And you'll notice that as you go into the gym and you see the kids that are there, they may not all look like you. They may not come from the same backgrounds. But they're God's children, and they're here to be ministered to. I ask that you would pray for us as we continue to minister through the new building. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the blessings that you give to us. We're grateful for the insight of those leaders who chose to make additions to the ministry of this church. And now, Lord, we're grateful for the blessings that that addition has brought. Lord, we call the morning service here recreation. We could easily call the new gym and the ministry that goes on there recreation without the colon. We're grateful, Lord, for the ministry that we can do through that. We ask that you would keep your hand in it. We know that you're there. Help us not to get in the way. Lord, that doesn't happen without the gifts that people bring here to the altar now. Remind us that these gifts are your gifts, our gifts back to you, but they are blessings from you. We ask that you would take these, bless them again, and help us to do what it says, to take your word and go out, whether we actually have to leave the building or not. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
when I walked onto the campus of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, in the fall of 1982, I encountered something that was a bit puzzling to me. I saw all of these people walking around with their kingdom kits. The kingdom kits. Do you know what I'm talking about? Kingdom kits. That's what they call them in seminary. We call them the briefcases. But they called them kingdom kits, and they were proudly sporting their kingdom kits as they walked briskly from one building to another. And I'm looking around, and I see there's all different colors. And I found out the second week that there's a color code for your kingdom kit. If you're in the divinity school, you had to have a black briefcase because, after all, any serious Bible is black. That's right. Had to have black. The RE students, they're not quite up to the divinity, so therefore you're almost black, so you had brown. Perhaps it's because it's the color of football, too. I don't know, you know, the games people. But anyway, they had brown for the RE school. The music school, I was teasing Mary earlier, the music school, these cats didn't even have a briefcase. They just carried like worn out folders that had the elastic wrapped around with their music and notes and stuff. I'm not lying. I'm serious. They did this. Okay? And I was a part of the new school, the young buck on campus. I was part of the communication school where mass media and all forms of communicating the gospel, we were known as somewhat of the rebels, somewhat of the renegades on campus, the kind that lived by the motto, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And so that was kind of our reputation. And so we had a special color of kingdom kit. And this is my actual kingdom kit from seminary. And you notice it's not black, it's not brown, it's ox blood, it's cordovan, it's burgundy, the only one with three names for the same color. We had these and we sported them proudly. And if you open this one right now, you will see that not only did I use it in seminary, I had to chuckle a little bit when I opened this one and saw that it had a Youth Camp 2002 Outer Banks of North Carolina program. So they continued to be used well into my ministry. I can't carry it now because I'm a preacher and preachers have to have black ones. So, and I don't own a black one. So therefore I can't carry a briefcase. And we laughed a lot about it. And we still do when I get together with some of my friends about our kingdom kits. We laughed about that, but there was mutual respect, I can tell you. When all of the different schools represented came in after chapel and were sitting there sharing those wonderful sweet rolls and coffee and juice and everything together, we had something very much in common. It was not the color of our kingdom kit. It was the fact that we were there to support one another. We knew that we were all there studying, following God's call upon our lives, but we were smart enough to know we weren't there to make the high dollar. I know that comes as a shock to many of you, but we were there because of God's call on our life. It was unmistakable. And most of us were aware that we needed each other as well. Not only did we need God's love and encouragement and the gifts that he placed on us, we needed the mutual respect and the prayer support that was going to be necessary to help us get through the years, continuing on our path, despite all the junk that would be thrown at us, despite all the failures that we would experience, trusting God and trusting that he truly had called us to this place of ministry. And as I thought about all of that, it really just got into the text for today. As I read Isaiah 49, I thought, wow, you know, there's something really cool going on here. This is definitely a call story. And there are a lot of call stories all through the Old and the New Testament. And most often the person being called is addressed by God, and God says, I have a task for you. I have something for you to do. And usually the person being called is very new to this task, very much a newbie or a novice, if you will. And as the novice looks into the future or tries to look into the future, they really just don't see themselves doing that. And so there's initially some reluctance because it doesn't look glamorous and usually it doesn't look very glorious. And so you see this hesitancy by most of those that are being called by God. And the typical result is that God has to persuade them a little bit. Sometimes it's gentle, sometimes it's not so gentle, okay? But it is persuasion from God. And then usually a reluctant acceptance of the call that's being placed on the life. And the typical result, again, is that God had the right person in mind, obviously. And months or years down the road, that person looks back on the circumstance and has to chuckle a little bit, saying, God, of course you were right. Of course you were. And of course, I am the person that needed to do this. And God, you are all-knowing and you are all-wise. I mean, that's typically the response. And a sense of satisfaction at being obedient to the call of God placed on their life. And in our lesson today, again, it's another call story. God is calling someone or someones, if you will. If it's someones, they are being addressed as an individual entity. But it's someone or someone that is being called to reunify the Hebrew people, to reunify the children of Israel. And in doing so, they're summoned to bring back those who have wandered away, those who have wandered away from God. And they're saying, bring them back in. You put upon their heart and stress upon them their need to recommit their lives to God. I want to read it to you. I invite you to read along with me. It's Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah 49 verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 49 verses 1 through 7. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I've spent my strength in vain for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says this, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, says this, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This person or this group of people being addressed is not new at responding affirmatively. Understand that. They're not new at this. They have done that. They have tried to do what God called them to do, but they have failed. And instead of saying, like I was teasing with the kids, instead of saying, Mr. Charlie, I can't guard them, so I quit. Mr. Nerl, I can't hit that shot, so I quit. Instead of saying, God, I've tried it, and I'm no good at that. You haven't given me enough gifts, or the timing was all wrong, or whatever excuse we want to throw out there. Instead of doing that, the response to God is an honest assessment of failed effort. It's in verse 4. I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing in vanity. I failed, yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with my God. In all probability, God is speaking, most likely, to a faithful group of people in Israel who have tried unsuccessfully to get those who were unfaithful back to where they needed to be. And the calling is addressed to Israel, but Israel is also identified as the ones who need to be renewed, the ones who need to be called back. So this group of faithful ones has previously been called to this same task, and they failed at it. They know hypothetically that they have the gifts to do what God called them to do, but willingness to serve and giftedness notwithstanding in this deal, there's a significant number of those who have set out to bring back to God, and they wouldn't come back. They set out to bring these people back, and the people would not come back. They continue to refuse God. And so the ones called have made peace with the reward of their task. They said, well, our reward is not success, evidently, but faithfulness to to God. They say, my reward is with my God. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. But from all indications, this conversation, God's not done with them. He's not done with them. He says, no. We're not through here. This is a divine resend, if you will. Not resend as in pull it back in, but resend as you're going back. You're going back out there. God knows that this group has put the effort forth. They haven't failed in terms of the effort has been expended. It's just the results. They can't see the results there yet. And so they're discouraged. And they want to quit. Back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, there was an American educator named Thomas Palmer. Many of you, especially if you're in the field of education, you know this name. He wrote a book simply entitled Teacher's Manual. Creative, but Teacher's Manual. And in that manual, he wrote, if at first you don't succeed, perfect. You get an A+. If at first you don't succeed, try again. The phrase was later popularized by Edward Hickson in the 1800s in his song, Moral Song. And it doesn't come from Scripture. This is, man made this up, okay? It's not a bad concept as long as we allow room for God in the equation. If God has called us to do something, if at first we don't succeed, be persistent, be consistent, ever the while praying for God's leadership and encouragement. Continue. Continue on. That is the message of God to this core group. He's saying, this ministry that you were born to do, I ask you, try again. Try again. And by the way, I'm going to expand that. It's not enough. It's not enough just to be a light to your nation. I want you to reach the Gentiles too. I'm going to expand your calling. It is a glorious calling, and I want to expand that. I want you to be a light to your own nation. That's a message for American Christians, isn't it? I want you to be a light to your own nation, but I want you to reach out beyond and be a light to the Gentiles as well. As to your method, God may be heard to say as we kind of read between the lines in here, think of focused speech. When he said, my mouth is like a sharp sword, you know, and the polished arrows, that it gets right to the heart of the message. Another way to say that might be, maybe we should speak less fluff and more message. The message being God's truth, not our opinions, but God's truth, always delivered in the spirit of love. Always. And sadly enough, there will always be a ministry to those who are sent to reclaim people who have fallen away from that life and enriching connection to God. In both their personal relationship with God as well as the connection with the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ that was put in place to continue the work that Christ began. There's always a ministry. God does not say when someone falls away, oh, well, there's more fish in the sea. C'est la vie. No, God doesn't say that. Neither should we. He says, reach those people. Reach out to those people. Reach out. And sometimes we have to adopt a little bit different language to do that. Same message, but perhaps a little bit different language. You heard that illustrated beautifully this morning when Isaiah 40 was read. Just a little bit different verbiage, same message, a little bit different audience. God is calling us. God never gives up on those who fall away. He's calling us. He's looking for the right people, the best people, sometimes the unexpected people, even perhaps you and me, through which he can work through us to help get others back in right relationship. It's a challenging thing. You know, the personal application for us is to open our hearts. Open our hearts, hear God's call, perhaps his renewed call, and for us to be the voice of compassion, be the voice of truth, and the voice of love to those who've turned away from Jesus Christ and his church. In a moment, we're going to sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." And I want you to, as you sing those words, read them carefully. It's a revolutionary concept. Have thine own way, Lord. Sometimes we want our own way. And just as the psalmist, and just as the writer of Isaiah, you know, as Scripture has been written to point us to God, sometimes we need to hear that message very clearly, because we tend to be a little bit self-absorbed. And God is calling us this morning to get back, to get back in our own hearts in strong connection with him. And as we do that, he has a mission for us. Your mission will look a little bit different than mine, just because you're a little bit different person. As you sing the song, pray that God will show you what it is that he has for you. Because trust me, he has something for you. Each and every one of us, he has something for us. Someone maybe to reach out to. Someone to encourage. All of us have that responsibility and that joy. Do business with God as we stand and sing. Let me pray for us. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. And God, we thank you for the fact that you're not done with us. That we always have something to do that you are calling us to do, to be a part of the kingdom and to contribute to the kingdom. God, help us not to get in the mindset that we're retired, Father, because we're far from it. You still have things for us to do, people for us to touch and to bless. Father, speak to us, even as we sing. Speak to us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you don't have that relationship, this is the day. This is the day that God is calling you. I feel confident. Be receptive. Allow him to speak to you. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Come to forward. I'll talk with you here, or you can call me this week. If you're here and you say, "Raymond, I am a believer, but boy, I retired a little too early, or maybe I just am not connected to the sense that I can hear God's call clearly." The person needs to change in that relationship. It's not God, okay? It's not God. It's us. We have to be obedient. This is your time for commitment and recommitment as well. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that if you'd like. But do serious work with God as we stand and sing together now. Christ only, always living in me. That should be our prayer. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we go from this place, we pray that you would continue to renew our spirit and that you would use us in ways that amaze us and give glory to you. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.